Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Doug! That sounded like an animal or something. Like you poked. Did you poke an ostrich?
With a stick? There's an anteater.
Guess what, buddy?
What's up?
Remember a few weeks ago, I think it was around June 1st, David Bory was going to be a guest on the show, and then it didn't work out, and then he left the country for a while.
Well, yeah, I forgot he's out of the country.
Yeah, he left for a while, so we couldn't reschedule until now, today. It's happening. I'll just recap because we talked about him the last time when he was going to be on. You know, he's the voice of Comedy Central, one of the hosts of All Fantasy Everything with our friend Sean Jordan and Ian Carmel. Mm-hmm. And David Bory also has a fun silent letter in his name. So let's get to it. Anything else?
No. Sorry, I thought that was you signing off.
Sounded like you were.
But you didn't say the official words.
Let's go to work. Hello, David Bory. How are you?
I'm so good, Doug. Douglas, does that ever happen?
No, but that would be one way to distinguish between us two Dougs, I guess.
Somebody's got to take the list.
One of us, Douglas. Yeah, I don't want to be it either. Or you could go, or you could call him, I like to call him Doug M.
Okay, that works.
Yeah, because then it just kind of sounds like Dig'em. Dig'em
smack.
That was
the Smacks frog, if you guys remember.
Oh yeah.
It's true. Coming in hot with some cereal trivia. I love it. What's your deal with you just got back to the country? You went out of the country for a second.
Yeah, I went to Brazil.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
it was great.
How'd that work out?
It was pretty good. Somebody tried to sell me some weed and it got kind of weird. But other than that, I had a really good time.
It got weird because they wouldn't take a credit card
It got weird because they wanted to take a credit card. And for a second, I was down. And then I'm like, why am I giving my credit card to a Brazilian drug dealer? And then I was like, and then they tried to strong arm, and they were like, that guy over there, he's the boss. We need more money. And I was like, I didn't give you any money. Yeah. And then the one guy took his shirt off, and I was on the beach. But it was like, there's a lot of people around. So I just kind of started being loud and super American. I was like, hey, man, I didn't buy anything from you. I'm getting out of here.
That's the best way to end any, failed business transaction is just make sure everybody around hears that it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You just let it, just put it on the record.
Exactly. Just let it. I just need people to know where I am at all times in case it goes bad.
But for the most part, you found it to feel relatively safe, the parts of you were running around in.
Yeah, but I'm also not there for, like, poverty tourism. Like, when you're walking around, people are like, would you like to take a tour of the favelas? And I was like, hell no. Hell no. I'm here to eat on the beaches, eat some of your delicious beef, drink out of coconuts. Like, I don't, I understand. I've been to other countries. I understand what poverty is. I don't need to go take a tour.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
You're really missing out.
Yeah,
I don't think I am.
When you live in Southern California, Tijuana's right there for the taking if you want to, you know, tour impoverished foreign land.
I mean, also, though, I'm from Sierra Leone, so I've been there. So, you know, I get it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed your beach life in Brazil while we sat here. Either in, I'm sure Doug is in horrible heat right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And in Southern California, we've been experiencing, it's every day you don't know when you wake up in the morning if it's going to be cloudy or sunny. It goes one way or the other. It's kind of a roll of the dice each day.
Is it bad there right now?
it's just weird. You know, I mean, it's not uncomfortable, but it's just, you know, every day on the news, they're either like, we're having record lows or we're having record highs. And it's just been just kind of weird. But I think that's where weather is headed in general. Just a lot of weirdness.
Oh, yeah. But,
you never know.
Planet's going to eat us slowly, right? It's taking,
yeah, I think
it's so. Taking its shit back.
Yeah.
Starting with that submarine.
Yo, my goodness.
Oof.
That poor submarine. That's like... People are really like, you know, weighing in based on, you know, how they feel about how rich the submarine people were. But for me, it's just all about, it was five people. Like, I don't think five people should like sit in, you know, crosstown traffic in the same car. That feels too cramped for too long.
I get it.
You know, like the fact that they were all just sort of sitting in basically, you know, you only have room to just sit there. And we went through what they've apparently gone through. It just sounds awful.
Especially, and it's like the media is brutal because like I got on Instagram, because I'm not on Twitter anymore, but I got on Instagram and you see all these people like, they've run out of oxygen today. And I'm like, oh, well, that's about, I'm already pretty afraid of like a water death, but then couple that with like running, because it's not like they could just crack the top and swim out. So they
no
just kind of... No, you just gotta die a really, really. This is maybe we could talk about something else.
You gotta really just look at the positive side. As you're sitting there running out of air, you just gotta be like, yeah, but that is, I am looking at the Titanic. You know, they died doing what they loved, I guess. I mean, because it seems, apparently you have to sign like paper after paper after paper that says you're probably going to die doing this. Like they all are warned over and over again, and also sign away any rights to, you know, complain later if things go south. And then wasn't one of the people in the thing, like one of the guys in charge of the whole operation?
I don't know that much about it. Is that the case?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. So the whole thing is just, it's just strange, you know, and it's, now we're probably going to see it happen with space, you know, as people just go more and more nuts with like, you know, I'm rich, I want to go to space. Well, okay, it's risky.
I know this is morbid, but would you rather die in space or at the bottom of the ocean?
This is a great question. Doug, you go first.
I'll say space for sure.
Right? I think I'm a space person too.
Really?
Yeah, it just feels like
less scary.
Slightly less bleak. Yeah. And like I'd rather float on air than on water.
And this might be
in water.
I get that because I think at first I was thinking water, but now I think space just because, and this may be arrogant, but I don't know if I want just like some marine life to feast on my remains.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems like a bummer for like my mom and stuff.
Yeah. You die out in space. It's unlikely, you know, you're certainly not going to have to suffer the embarrassment of anybody seeing that you died out in space, but down in the water there, all sorts of things can happen. Another tour group could come through looking at the Titanic.
Yeah, I mean,
bro, look at those fools.
It's crazy down there. Each little snail there knows how to whale there, if you believe the Little Mermaid.
You know, my birthday's coming up, and I just have to remember to tell everybody that thingamabobs, I've got plenty. And I've also got who's its and what's its galore. So if you could avoid the what's its, the who's its, and thingamabobs, I'd appreciate it.
That's understandable. Well, do you get the man who has everything?
We have already gone way off the track, which is part of the point of this show. David, you are a current, one of a few ongoing Douglas Movies champions. So you'll be back on that show very soon. Regarding Comedy Central and you being the voice of Comedy Central, do you ever get voice recognized? Like when you're like ordering food or something, is that when people go, hey, are you, like they kind of put it together?
Never once. I mean, it's, but I'm also not at the bar like South Park, 8 p.m., 10 p.m. Central. You know what I mean?
So I really should just always be saying the show times for the various programs.
I think that would get me the recognition I so deserve, frankly.
I think if you told somebody you were the voice and then did that, they'd go, that's not what it sounds like.
I've told people before, just random, like, you know, talking to a girl at a bar or something, and it is unbelievable. So people either are like, oh, for sure, or they're like, no
way. Yeah, anybody could say that.
Yeah, because how would you check it at the bar right now? You can't.
Right. You know what I mean? You'd have to yell at the bartender or have an arrangement with him to turn the TV on.
Exactly.
Put the sound
and then
on.
Wait for commercials
on Comedy Central. Wait for commercials. Yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, you know anybody listening? Anybody listening? You can pretend to be that. That's what this means: is you can pretend to be the voice of Comedy Central and get clear away with it. You know?
Yeah, you probably could get away with it.
I used to tell people for no reason that my mom was Ice from American Gladiators, and just have fun with it, because you can't, again, who's going to think that it's not? Why would I say that?
You know, the crazy thing about that is I'm pretty sure Ice is a lesbian.
Maybe.
No, I just, because I watched the American Gladiators documentary. I'm not like, that wasn't like something said based on appearance or something like that. it's on ESPN. Two-parter.
I got to learn about my mom.
Yeah, go check her out. A lot of them,
everybody you lied to about it was probably like, I know you're lying, because she wouldn't even have children.
Yeah, the sad thing about that doc is a lot of them aren't in it, because I guess it was a pretty big scam.
Oh,
whoa.
The gladiators weren't getting paid what you thought they were.
Oh yeah, I bet it was bad.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
Yeah, I'm currently on strike for all gladiators everywhere.
Thank God. So, you know what? Somebody had to do
good
it.
For you.
You're a good face for that.
Well, you know, as long as I'm going to strike with the Writers Guild, I might as well strike for other, you know, groups as well. You know,
yeah, why not?
Birds.
Yeah, knock it all out.
So on the podcast, I'll Fancy Everything, you and those other fellas do brackets for, you know, all sorts of things, and sit around, and it's not so much an argument as everyone just sort of presenting their choices and discussing them. But like, what's the weirdest thing you've ever had to rank on that program?
Oh man, that's a tough, because we've been doing it for like 6 years. So I mean,
I asked the question just because, you know, Doug Mellard is in Austin, Texas, and it's important to him to keep things weird.
Oh, I like that's fair. Some would say you stole it from Portland, but I'm not that guy. I don't care what you do.
It's weird that a slogan like keeping weird can even be stolen.
Yeah, right. And also, do you ever think
we're the weird ones?
Yeah, do you ever think there's people in like Springfield, Missouri, like, screw that, we're weird, this sucks? Like, you think there's like a small town somewhere full of like witches and warlocks where they're like, we're clearly the weirdest? Those are the weirdest people I could think to fill a town with.
There's definitely like towns that just know that they're weirder than Austin or Portland, but they just don't have the PR.
Yeah, yeah. Like they go to visit Austin or Portland and they're like, this is lame. They're just. But the weirdest thing I think we've ever done. I think we did. Pretty sure we did music videos you want to live in. That's pretty weird.
That's a weird one. You had to come with, how many do you come up with normally? Like five?
Yeah, everybody has five.
Five music videos you'd like to live in. Can you think of any, Doug?
I am racking my brain. It's been so long since I've actually seen a music video.
But every music video I can think of would be a nightmare of a place to live.
Yeah, no. Like,
they're fun to watch. You know, like Tom Petty's, that Alice in Wonderland video he has. Everything looks really cool, but that'd be a horrible place to live.
You don't know what it is. It would
probably be like some hair band where you're just driving a cool car with some ladies or whatever, you know, like Poison or Aerosmith cool or something.
But what about Scream? Yeah. Would you like to live in a space pod with Michael and Janet Jackson? And they're both like, they scream a lot and break a lot of glass.
I can't think of anything I'd like less.
They're terrible roommates.
Yeah. Michael just doesn't clean anything because he's been rich forever.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't clean
I live in a Fat Boy Slim Chris Walken dance video. I just watch Chris Walken dance forever. Wouldn't hate on that.
Is that the video?
Yeah.
No, it's that other song, Weapon of Choice. But it's also, that's just, he's just sauntering through giant hotel lobbies or something.
But hey, I could.
Are you Chris Walken in this?
Yeah.
Or are you like a fly on the wall?
Live in him?
I live in him like the watch lived in him in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. That watch.
I think it's just a bystander. Just hanging out. I'm just hanging out in the hotel.
Oh, okay.
Watching him dance.
Watching him dance by.
You could have a life besides him dancing then too in that, right? Like you, your wife, and kids, you came to the hotel, and then this just also happens. That's good.
Yeah, it's true. You know, when you're figuring out a fantasy life, you gotta carve out some, you know, just some space to chill.
Oh yeah, I always give myself a fake family in my fantasies.
I still haven't thought of a video that I'd like to live in. You know, like Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden. That would just be a nightmare.
Yeah, with the Bumblebee girl,
all those big eye people. Well, no, that's a No Rain by Blind Melon.
Oh, what's the Black Hole Sun video?
Black Hole Sun is the one where everybody's faces are all sunken and their eyes are really big. They all look like those like Keen paintings or something.
Well, and I think here's the thing: is that you got to like, if you're gonna live in a music video, you sort of got to like pick music that you don't like but is very happy. Does that make sense?
Got to go upbeat. So maybe.
Yeah, that makes
maybe
sense.
Maybe Pharrell Williams happy. Yeah.
Yeah, like I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys. Like something that's like, oh, I could do this for a long time.
These all feel like just you're just picking ones now where you just sit to the side and watch somebody dance.
That's not a bad life.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that when the subject comes up, living in a music video. It didn't even dawn on me. You can live in it. You don't have to be the central figure.
Yeah, no.
You can just be living there.
That's one great thing about me. I don't really have main character syndrome.
Well, our show today and every week is about names and how they affect us, how our names affect our lives one way or the other, whether they do or they don't. But before we talk about your name one part at a time, here's a couple of warm-up questions that are semi-related to that topic. Starting with, I just saw you in person and couldn't tell you if you had any. What's your tattoo situation?
Oh, man, it's embarrassing.
Why?
Yeah.
I only have two tattoos, one on each of my wrists. One says carpe, one says diem. I was 18, man. I don't know what I thought was going to happen.
on your wrists.
Yeah, the most masculine place to get a seize the day tattoo.
On the upper?
On the inside. On the inside.
So written, so like it reads to you looking at your wrists?
No, it reads to you. To me, it's upside down.
You just got to show people your wrists.
I don't ever show. I never
show.
Whenever
somebody's feeling down and doesn't feel like they've taken enough chances.
Yeah, in the day, in the one day that it is. I'm like, oh shit, I got you.
So that's what happened, is that you've come to regret this tattoo to a degree that you'll never get another tattoo.
I pretty much regretted it instantly. Like a couple of days later, I was at work looking at it like, God, this was a bad call.
Wow.
I mean, you seized the day.
Yeah, it was stupid. It's not always a good thing.
No, that's the thing. It's just acting, it's, you know, sometimes seizing the day can be a irrational behavior that leads to bad things, like regrettable tattoos.
Truly.
Going to see the Titanic.
Here's another area where, because that's the reason we bring up tattoos is because just the permanence, but it's like your name, it's a permanence that you decide on, you know, like if we all named ourselves, we'd have the same issue you have with those tattoos, I think, is that we probably would name ourselves at too young an age to be, you know, given that responsibility. What about pets? Have you ever gotten to name any pets?
Man, I tried to name my dog and my parents took it from me. They didn't like it.
Oh, no.
They
the
had
name,
a
the
name, name
not the
name.
Dog. The name, not the dog.
Yeah. You got to keep the dog, but it was with the name that they chose?
Yep.
All right. So without telling us which one is which, tell us, and maybe it'll just be obvious, but
it's obvious.
Tell us the two names.
Apollo and Frodo.
Okay. So the parrots aren't, they're more into space exploration than they are into Tolkien or whatever.
Oh, interesting.
Or Rocky.
Okay. That's your take.
Yeah, because
I was Apollo, but it was after Apollo Creed.
Oh,
but like they, this isn't like the year 2000. So it was it was Rocky, but also the Lord of Rings had just come out. And my mom, who has never read the movie, and I'm pretty sure, or never read the books, pretty sure fell asleep in the movie, suggested Frodo. And then they went, and I was like, I've seen these movies and I've read these books. I made an informed decision, but they went with Frodo.
Their name like is cutesier than yours. So that's sort of why I assume that was the one that the younger person would pick.
I get
but
that.
Also, I guess we also couldn't know what films you were watching or a fan of.
True, very true.
Yeah, but then also, so this all went down before Apollo Ono came along and probably rose the Apollo numbers, you know, more people using the word.
I feel like this was post Ono though, because Ono was Nagano, right? Olympics?
Yeah, I think so.
And I think that was 98.
Oh, okay.
And we moved to Colorado in 2000. So, yeah, this would have been post-Apollo Ono. So, the time was right.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have been named after two different Apollos, and they just decided to name it after one Frodo.
What kind of dog is Frodo?
Australian Shepherd.
Like a short dog?
No, he very masculine, very strong. He looks like an Apollo.
More of an Apollo, for sure. Like maybe a Chihuahua is Frodo or something.
Yeah, some like little nip. No, this was a man dog, but
I bet you too, though, that those names are close enough that you could have just secretly kept calling it Apollo and it would have answered to that.
Oh, that's another thing. I don't think I ever saw my mom call that dog by name. So I think I could have got him. And I took care of him. I was the one who walked him and put him out and all that shit. But, you know, such well,
how would she address the dog if she, you always use your dog's name, right? How
no, she'd be like, get out of here. Go away.
Hey, you.
Get off the fucking couch. That's how she, you know, yeah. She wouldn't say hard F's, but
you with the bone. What are you? Yeah, get out of here.
What are you doing? I already gave you some leftovers.
Hey, scram. Toy, scram.
Yes.
That'd be funny. Somebody just has a lot of nicknames for their dog and just never uses the dog's name. All right. Well, let's get into your name because it is not Frodo, but it's still interesting name. Well, starting with the, you know, what is quite possibly the least interesting part, because of the commonality of it. How did you feel about having the name David growing up?
I was never particularly fond. David's not my first name, though.
Interesting twist.
Plot, the plot thickens.
Yeah, this has happened sometimes. We have guests that pull some sort of switcheroo with their names. So at what point did David become your first name in terms of telling people that that's your name?
When school started. So this isn't like, I always got to like, because people often think I like did it for comedy. No, it, like kindergarten, preschool, I guess. Whenever I started going to school.
Once you were out in public, you were like, don't call me that. And David was just your middle name that you preferred?
I didn't even prefer it. I think my mom just thought it would be easier for me because we're African. So I already have a difficult last name. So I think she just thought it was going to be easier if we went by my easy middle name. So I never had a choice. I never had a choice in it either.
Okay. So what is your initial first name?
My on my driver's, I don't have a driver's license. On my ID, it's Sahr, S-A-H-R, which isn't a crazy S-A-H-R. Name. Like, I don't think people would have had trouble, but, you know.
I mean, yeah, that's a, you know, I get it. You know, it could go one way or the other. But then, of course, you never in high school or college or now, there was never a point where you like were kind of wanted to switch back, you know, grab your, you know, initial identity again. Or was it you were so young the years that you had that name that it didn't really you were just fine sticking with David?
Yeah, it happened so young, man. I don't ever remember a time that I wasn't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, no, I never like, which is funny because my little brother, he reverted to his African name. He's like 21 now. But I never, I don't know. I just, this is how we were going. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely fuck present it. Your average person with a set of, you know, spelling and pronunciation issues, whether they see your name first or hear it first.
Oh, it's a problem.
With Sahr Bori, yeah. With that, and we'll get to that silent letter in a second. But since you were David, pretty much essentially growing up, what's it like? Like when I refer to you, I just call you David, but have people jump to Dave? Do a lot of people call you Dave?
People really, really close. But other than that, I don't really like it that much. But like, I got like a few friends who I've known for like, you know, 20 years who will say Dave, and my mom will say Dave sometimes, like my family, but other than that, people jump to Dave. I don't really love it.
Yeah, well, that's, I would imagine if someone jumps to it when they've just met you, that's probably like, you know, a little flag goes up like, well, that's, you know, why are you doing that?
Because I don't do that to anybody else, by the way. I never meet somebody.
Why would you?
I think it's a crazy move. It's just, I'll call you whatever you introduce yourself to me. Even if it's like a nickname, all right, well, then I'll call you your nickname. I'll figure out your name later. Like, I have no type of, I'm not, I don't understand why people get so familiar so fast.
It's a, just a weird, like, sometimes it's a power move, you know, like I'm diminishing you through nicknames. And then other times it's just, people are just too goddamn friendly and just think that, you know, you only said David just because you're, you know, it's a formal situation. It's their chance to get you to loosen up, Dave.
Right. But I don't want to be loose. I probably don't like you that much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like over the years watching, you know, I grew up on watching David Letterman late at night. And like, it's just anybody that would like go, well, listen, Dave, like as soon as you do that, it's like, you know, with a person who's publicly known as David.
Yeah.
It's just really like you're just fucking around. Like you're like not you know, you're trying to do something there with that that choice.
Also, do these power moves ever work like that? Like for the power move to work, I have to be like intimidated by you initially or something. Like I've never met somebody and then they pulled a power move and I was like, oh, now I gotta be afraid of this person.
Yeah,
no, this they called me Dave. Oh, he must be an important guy.
Oh, he's just an annoying guy.
Yeah, he's just like a irritating. It's like a guy who doesn't listen.
And I would assume also that anyone that just calls you Davey must be like completely out of their minds.
I don't. I have an ex-girlfriend who did it, and it was. Not the reason that we're not together, but it's not not.
You could argue that it was a contributing factor.
Yeah. And then she would like spell it in text and she spelled it D-A-V-Y, which something about not adding the E kind of bothered me. It's just, I didn't like it at all.
Yeah. She might as well call you Navy if she's going to take the.
Exactly. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Well, we're going to do a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to get into more stuff with your name right after this. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back, and where did we leave off here? So, okay, so Dave, Davey, David must have been. Pretty like you must have had other Davids like in your classes and stuff.
Always,
like,
yeah,
there's just
Davy Crockett, but yeah, I have Davy Crockett, but I haven't heard that since Clinton got impeached.
you remember the exact moment, the last one?
Yeah, it's just like those two things were going on in my life at that time.
That's interesting, like everything that's happened to you is either before the Clinton thing or after. Yeah. That's just how you mark time,
you know.
It's like ADBC.
Yeah. So we established that your middle name is your first name is technically Star, and your middle name, so your middle name was David, though, in fact.
Is
David. Okay. And so with your initials, you had DSG. Those are, you know, not too bad.
SDG.
Pardon me, SDG, which that sounds like, you know, I grew up in San Diego Gas and Electric.
Okay.
S-T-E-N-E.
I didn't want to say it. I'm a Nepo baby.
And then, but then once you made the move, then I guess that does make it, but nobody needs to use your initials DSG, but you flip them.
Yeah.
What about, so you said Davy Crockett was the thing that, you know, people would jump to just being stupid, but, did you have any, nicknames growing up that were more, you know, consistent, or that you were, I should say, approved by you?
No, I always wanted some, but no. I got this girl in junior high called me David Boring for a little bit. Thank God it didn't stick.
It's David G. Boring to you.
Yeah, jerk.
That must, so that's the thing about the last name Bori, G-B-O-R-I-E, is that there's just multiple opportunities for misspellings and mispronunciations every turn.
It's treacherous.
The dreaded silent G at the beginning, that's really something, because no one's ever going to guess that, right? That there's the G there when you say my name's Bori.
You know what? One out of 50 people, every now and again, you get somebody who just looks at it and they're like, it couldn't possibly. And then every now and again, you do get somebody who will figure it out.
Yeah. I guess when you see it first, then, you know, you go, well, is it really going to, you're really going to pronounce that G? But if you just say, my name is Bori, you know, and then they have to write it down, then you have to spell it for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, I grew up playing sports and stuff, so for a long time I just went by my last name. Even like a lot of my friends and stuff just kind of call me Bori.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think I always, I kind of led with it, sort of like I'm more used to hearing people call me Bori than David, probably. Like when people just say, hey, David, it's like, oh, you must not, like, you know, I just might not know you. And I think it's like, it's an interesting name, and I think it suits me. So I think even like a lot of times people who haven't met me and stuff call me Bori. So
they just jump right to it, like picking teams or something.
Yeah. And I like that. I do like that, because I think Bori fits me more than David anyways.
And then how common is Bori, like outside of your own family? Have you ever
so uncommon? We're from a small part of a small country, man. It's like, it's not even within Sierra Leone, which is a really small country. There's like not many. There's like, and then there's one other like prominent Bori family. So when I was there, people would be like, oh wow, that's like a really good family. And my mom would have to be like, that's not us.
We're not part of the good Boris.
No, we're like the, I mean, we're doing good. We're not like, it's not terrible or anything, but we're not the top ones.
Not the extra fancy Boris.
No, no doctors.
Have you had, have you had like paperwork issues with, you know, anything like an important document where somebody throws a Y on the end instead of the IE?
Not really, but I'm like, so one thing I got, especially hearing my mom always say it, when I spell my name, especially over the phone, it's always the exact same way. G as in George, B as in boy, O-R-I-E. Like, I get it across, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you gotta tell these people.
You gotta be on top of it.
Yeah.
How often do MCs screw up and leave the G in?
The longer I do comedy and the more I get known and like people know me and stuff, like comics and stuff know me, not as much anymore, but the first 5 or 6 years, nonstop.
Yeah.
Once a week, twice a week.
Yeah, it's quite helpful that if they kind of already know who you are ahead of time, because It's just such a weird concept that we have that the person with the least experience in stand-up comedy should be hosting the show all the time. It's just the hosting etiquette is getting worse and worse as time goes on, because like now I like not even really give credits to somebody, because I get it when I'm doing stand-up and I have to introduce somebody at the end of my set, thinking of their what credits they want me to use and how to pronounce their name, and even, you know, and even what their name is, like it's like, you know, you're doing your jokes, you're like not thinking about that shit. So then when you get to right. it, I understand that it's, you know, it's not easy, but it's part of the job to at least try to give the other acts, you know, a proper introduction.
I mean, you're nicer than me. Not that I don't really care about credits, but you're doing 10 minutes. You can't remember that the guy was on Conan or whatever. It's not
insane. Right, but it's amazing how simple you can make it. You know, you can be like, I've been on, HBO and Comedy Central, and they'll get up there and go, he's been on E and BET.
Ever tried to give him a joke credit?
Oh, no, it's the worst, because if it's, you know, that if you give him a joke credit to set something up that you're going to do, it's just so easy for them to not do it right.
Or even just like, I used to think he was really funny to tell people, like, no credits, just he once got beat up by Michael Vicente in an Albertsons parking lot. And they just, because that's funny to me. I think it's a really funny thing to say. But just how many people messed it up is like, this isn't even worth it.
Yeah. And because they're not landing it like it's funny. They're just saying what you told them to say.
Exactly.
And then also there's like, they always like throw, you know, they'll throw you under the bus too. They'll go, I had never seen this next comic, but he told me to say that one time he was, you know, and it's just like, oh, come on, you're play along a little bit, you know.
I hate it when hosts do that. I've never seen this next comic, or when they're like, oh, I never seen this next comic. He could be funny, like,
yeah.
Why are you such a dick?
Yeah, let's start off on a positive. You know, at the very least, say I hear nothing but good things about this person. Can't wait to watch what they're going to do. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah,
because if you're the host, we're assuming you put it together. So now you're like, I don't know. I just put crap on this show. I don't know.
Yeah, that is the other thing. You know, the hosts that don't act like they don't try to own it. They just sort of like, you know, just kind of walk through it, because they don't want to stay a host. They want to move up on the ladder, which makes sense, you know. But that's why I like, you know, in some places like London, you know, they put like one of the acts people are most excited to see, they have them host.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Because I also feel like when I was in LA a lot, I feel like a lot of times in Los Angeles, there's like, if the show is maybe not great, the hosts will do this thing where they kind of distance themselves from the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that used to always drive me insane.
They're getting up there between each act, telling the audience what, you know, that they're a bad audience or they're a small audience. And then,
or like, this show sucks. And you're like, well, then what are we all doing here?
Yeah.
Bro, I'll go home, man.
They get frustrated because they have to keep getting back up there when they didn't have a good set at the very beginning of the show. But then, you know, maybe as the show goes on, the audience gets more warmed up and they start turning around. And so then that host person just has to watch the other comics do well when they tanked. It's not a great situation.
No, it's a bummer. It's a bad. I just always feel like, you know, you take control. You did it. You made this show. You know what I mean?
Or they'll like bomb up top, but keep trying to do time in between to try to win them back. And it just makes it worse with every joke.
That's the worst too. Like, they already don't like you.
Yeah. Or they just didn't. Just move it along.
They just didn't. Let's go. You know, people make snap judgments. Like if you polled an audience like 10 seconds after you walked on stage, if they had everybody raise your hand if you think this person's going to be funny, raise your hand if you don't think they're going to be funny. it's probably, you know, kind of a wild array of people who have based on nothing, just you walking out there, they've already got ideas, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, comedy is the most complicated job in the world, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's easy once you do it a million times, you know?
Yeah.
That seems to be the thing, is just getting comfortable with it, you know? And even that isn't necessary. Like, some comics feed off of, like, being anxious or, you know, unhappy while they're on stage. You know, that becomes their persona or whatever.
Yeah, that seems like a dark road. That seems
Well, there's less of it these days, too, but, like, you know, back when I was coming up, like, every other act had something besides just standing there telling jokes. They either had a character or, props or guitar, or, you know, magic or something, you know.
Funny shirt.
Yeah, funny shirt. was like, a lot of people will fall back on that. So since we're talking about comedy, it's just as good a time as any to ask you about our most important question, and that is, how many Dougs have you known in your life and career that, like, or, you know, Dougs that you've been close to?
That's so funny. And in high school, and then a little bit after high school, I was really good friends with one of my best friends. His name was Doug, and his dad was also Doug. So we called him Big Doug and Little Doug, or the Dougs.
Wow. Like people call us the Dougs already on this show, and I think I'd like to stick with that, because I'm afraid that I'd be stuck with Big Doug if we had to pick.
Well, Big Doug loved it for, like, obvious reasons. Little Doug, not as much of a fan.
Right. That's so funny, because my initial reaction to it is that I'd rather be the little one. But now that you mention it, like, yeah, most people probably be into being the big one.
Yeah, especially 18, 17. You don't want to be Little Doug.
No, you never want to bring Little Doug energy to any situation.
Nobody wants that guy around.
I just saw another one the other day. I saw another, I should make a list of the movies and TV shows that name a character Doug because he's a complete dork. I guess it's, you know, kind of almost sounds like dork. So you're just, like, right there. But as an adult, you've only known Dougs like, you know, the two of us, Doug Stanhope, like other comedians named Doug.
I got a buddy in Denver who is an artist, my friend Doug.
What kind of art?
Visual, like 3D stuff. Like, I don't want to call it sculptures so much, but, like, kind of. He had an installation at Meow Wolf, actually.
Oh, okay. Wow. Very cool.
Yeah. But other than that, no, I don't think I got any other Dougs. And then, yeah, just a few. There's not a ton in comedy.
No, it's I think it's a name that I don't think you get, like, you don't get the cockiness that one needs to become a stand-up when you grow up with the name Doug, you know?
See, that's interesting, because the Dougs that I know, the two Dougs, Big Doug and Little Doug, they were very cocky.
Oh, good.
Yeah. They rose above.
Yeah.
Despite it all.
Yeah. There can be all kinds of Dougs, but I just feel like it's like a name for more of a, you know, a timid person a lot of time, but it can also be the obnoxious guys named Doug. You know, like, I think one of those beer drinking Chicago characters that they'd play on SNL, I think one of them was named right. Doug.
It could easily go into, like, bully territory, I feel like.
Yes. Yeah. And again, because his name is fucking Doug, he's stuck with that name. Of course, he's going to become a bully. He's got to do something. He's got to put some sort of act together. you know, or if his middle name is Sar, he could switch out.
Yeah, that's really the big, that's the big move.
Yeah. And David's must have been, we already sort of mentioned this earlier, but the David's must be, like, all over the place in your life. Like, you must have known
tons.
interacted with so many.
Tons. But the problem with David is it's just, man, it is not a sexy name. Like, it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's reliable. It's sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
It's got your back. It'll get you through. Nothing exotic or it's very dull.
It's also biblical,
which is dull.
Huge Bible name, which, you know, who wants that?
But there's cooler Bible names like Jeremiah. I could have done something with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just sounds like you crave the, you know, the excitement of having a name with four syllables.
Oh, man. That's a different guy you're talking to, if that is what had happened.
That's why you don't like Dave, because you're like, you're already sad you only have two syllables. Like, what?
And then they
what?
Condense it? You have the nerve?
Get the fuck out of here.
To my no face?
No reason for that.
I'll kill you.
But at least when you meet, and like, especially if it's somebody you have to work with, you have to interact a bit, you could pull the Davey. You know, you could switch it on theirs.
I mean,
you know, they keep calling you David, but you could call them Dave.
You know, the problem with Davids or whatever you want to call us, there's no solidarity. Like, every time I meet another David, I love just throwing him a great name. And they never, like, respond. Like, there's no honor amongst thieves.
They're like, that guy just said David's a great name. What is wrong with him?
Yeah, that guy's a prick. Like, it's never.
It just sounds like you're shitting on their name. But they immediately find out your name is that as well, don't they? Like,
That's when I do it. when they're like, somebody introduces me, they'll be like, "This is David." I'm like, "Oh, I'm David. Great name." And I've been running that bit for years.
I just say sorry when somebody says they also named Doug. Yeah. Hey, tough break. I hope it's working out for you.
We'll get through this.
I just go, womp.
You got this. You got this, Douglas. Just call him Douglas. That'll bring up their self-esteem.
There you go.
Because then you sound like a general or something when your name's Douglas. You know, that's an important sounding name.
Yeah, Douglas is strong, but it's hard to get away with in day to day, I imagine.
It must be. Like, you know, what's going on with our first or our second gentleman, Doug Emhoff? I call him Doug Emhoff, but I guess sometimes people call him Douglas just because he's got, he's in such a powerful position.
Okay. Do you guys here's my question. Do you guys ever get sick of Dougie Fresh? Or are you ever like, that guy messed it up for all of us?
You know what?
It's I don't mind it.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't mind it either because
Dougie Fresh is cool.
Less frequently than you'd think.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, and it's, in my case, I found it tends to be the more uncool a person is, the more likely they are to use it.
That makes sense. It's not irrelevant. Cool.
Yeah. Pete Holmes likes to call me that.
Hey, you said it, not me.
All right. It's on the record that he likes to say that. Like, he never misses. Like, when he sees me, he calls me that. And sometimes he just shortens it to just Fresh.
Yeah. We did that with Little Doug.
Just started calling him Little?
Or we called him Fresh after a while, a lot.
Oh.
Which he liked. He liked that.
Yeah. Well, I'd probably like it more from Pete if it wasn't his voice saying it. That's because not only does he call me Fresh, he also really lays into it. He goes, Fresh!
That's the worst.
That's terrible. It's terrible. But if you're listening, Pete, I think you're great. You're a good friend. All right. I do an anagram of all the guests' names now because I realize that's something that a person can do. And so I rearranged the letters in your name, David. And has anybody ever presented an anagram of your name to you?
Not even once.
Yeah, I don't think it happens a lot in polite society.
It's never come up.
But the one I came up with for you is Bridge Avoid.
Wait. Does that work?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
DAVIDGBRUID. All those letters.
that's kind of dangerous. Like, stay away from this
Yeah.
bridge. It'll fuck
Well,
you
man,
up.
you're warning others, though.
Yeah.
There's
I'm
a
also a
faulty
good
bridge
guy.
somewhere.
Yeah,
Hey
you could just
guys, turn
be,
back.
yeah, you could just be anti-bridge. Just a guy who's always telling people, why are you fucking with bridges? If you do you know the state of our infrastructure in this country?
I don't.
It's bad. Like,
I know
bridges
we
are
got a pipe
collapsing.
situation that's going bad.
A pipe situation?
Yeah, like they, I think a bunch of the pipes, a bunch of the like, the pipes, it's oh, they're old. They were made
Oh,
when the
yeah.
cities were made.
Oh, I
Yeah,
thought
old
weed pipes.
pipes. No, those are thriving.
Yeah, no, that's why I panicked. I thought you were telling me there's a problem with the
Yeah,
world has run out of weed pipes.
pipes are bursting all over the
Oh no, what a terrible. You just explode in your face while you're trying to take a hit. Like one of those old exploding cigar gags. But also, yeah, Bridge of Void could also be like, this could be a message to yourself, like, I don't know. I don't, anagrams, I don't know if there's anything that spooky about them necessarily. I don't know if they determine your fate in any way.
I think they're so, they can be so varied that it's hard to be like, oh, this is directly related to you. You know what I mean? Like that anything can happen with an anagram.
It's like, it's like, sure, it's kind of fun to like say what your sign is or whatever in astrology, and when people talk about, oh, he's a this, so that's why his personality's that way. That stuff, I'm not one of those people that's against that stuff, but at the same time, it all just seems a little convenient. It's kind of like getting tarot cards read or getting a reading or something when they just sort of sit there and tell you what you want to hear.
Right.
That's what
Yeah. I wanted to
astrology
hear
feels
about
to me like.
bridges.
You look up your, whatever your that day's chart is, you look up what it says about you for that day. You could sit there and interpret it in a, in so many positive ways in what's actually going on in your life. It's also, it all seems so calculated to me. But David, you did a great job. You answered all of our questions.
All
We
right.
run a live time fact check, and our fact checker just told me that you didn't lie at any point.
I did not.
Yeah, so no pants on
You're a first
fire.
guest to do
All right. We called him Medium Doug. I'm sorry. I wanted to impress you guys.
that. Before we go, what would you like to promote? What's going on?
Oh, man. I'm going on tour, but it's not, the dates aren't all done yet. But in the fall, October, November, September, going on a big fun tour. But just, follow me at CoolGuyJokes87 on Instagram. Listen to all fantasy everything. Listen to my other pod, My Mama Told Me, with Langston Kerman. And, hug your loved ones.
Those are all terrific plugs. And you'll be back
Remember,
soon on Doug Loves Movies. I'm looking forward to that. Doug Mellard, what's your plugs?
July 5th, come catch me at Cap City Comedy Club here in the very hot Austin, Texas, 8 p.m. Cap City, and find me on social at Doug Mellard. What about you,
What's
DB?
the temp there right
What's
now?
Today was a pleasant day.
Oh, really?
It is 95 right now. Yeah, I mean,
Oh,
95 is good right now. We'll take it. When I got up, I was visiting my in-laws in Santa Fe last week. Got back, it was like, 70s, 80s. Sometimes at night, you needed a sweatshirt. Get back here, it was 104 at 7 o'clock at night when we got off our plane. Awful. It's so wow. bad. It's so bad.
What do you do in the daytime? You just hide?
You just hide. Or find a body of water. That's all you can do.
Yeah, just hang out by the water, cold can of beer in a koozie or something, and just
drink
ride
some
it out.
Hot cocoa, eat some chili in the sun.
Is that some kind of situation where like it cools you down or something?
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Wait, well, sometimes my wife and I will fill up a kiddie pool. We'll just get like a little child's pool and go to the corner store and get some bags of ice and dump it in and get it in there. It's not all I can do.
That sounds
wait
like fun,
for the sun
though.
To go away. Yeah, it's not bad. But every day for the next 4 months.
That's how long it's gonna be hot like that?
Through August,
if not longer. Probably. I mean, yeah. they get hot yeah. days year round in Austin. It's weird.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You never know when you're gonna have a hot day. Douglas Movies is going to be in Seattle next month in July, along with San Diego, Pittsburgh, and I'm forgetting one other place. Oh, LA. all of my dates are at douglasmovies.com. Thank you, David Borey. That was so much fun.
Thanks for having me. I had a great time.
Such an informative hour. We've learned so much about you. And we end every show with what ends up being the title of the episode. It's always some sort of pun with the word Doug in it, the name Doug in it. So once again, thanks for being here, dude. And as always, all Doug everything.